All right, welcome to Green Legion Radio, everyone. It is episode 27 of what was formerly the Sports Blizzard, now Green Legion Radio. We are honored in studio this evening to welcome back one of our prestigious guests and co-hosts who's been missing in action for quite some time. Directly to my right, welcome back, Diaz.
He is risen. I was processing for a month.
It is alive.
You rang.
You've been getting ready for a wedding for a month.
Dude, I'm feeling the pressure. Luckily, we are leaving tomorrow for a long weekend down in New Orleans, favorite New Orleans. So it couldn't come at a better time.
And staying at our favorite New Orleans hotel, which we use for every Green Legion trip. Thank you, Astor Crown Plaza, for hooking us up for Mr. Diaz's Jazz Fest / Bachelor Party.
Oh, yeah, it's gonna be awesome. Yeah, I needed to pick something quick. Couldn't go international. You know, a lot of my buddies already. They got families and stuff.
Right.
I've never been to Jazz Fest. I probably will never get the opportunity to go. I love New Orleans.
You're a music fan, too. Yeah, yeah. You'll enjoy
it. Something I got to do once, because it's not going to happen any other time.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, Dick.
Hey, Hollis, come on down. Hey, Quimby, why don't you get Hollis a flight and come down?
He come with me.
Are you going to? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man. Yeah. He's going down on Saturday.
I'm only going for 2 days.
Okay. So I work Saturday, though.
Wanted the invite so he could say he couldn't go.
If it was tomorrow, then I would, you know.
I will say this about the Astor Crown Plaza, and they are great. The rooms are great. We've always been good to us, and I'm fine with the hotel as the hotel. It's very great. But you just say you're at the corner of Canal and Bourbon. They're like, well, what do you mean? You're like, no. It's impossible to get lost. It's on the corner of Canal and Bourbon. So it's just at the perfect location.
It is.
Where you're farther enough away.
You just get enough out of the noise where you don't have to listen to it when you're trying to pass out.
That's right. Exactly.
I don't know. If you stay on the front side of that, there's a lot of buses that go down the street that make a lot of noise.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's not so much buses. It was like if you stay on the front side, it'd be those trailers.
Trolley cars.
Not the trolleys. It's it'd be a truck in front, and it'd be the trailer behind it with a bunch of people in there yelling and screaming and partying like rock stars.
That's where we're going. It's going to be good.
That's it.
Sorry for the long
intro. And in case you didn't know, next to him, number 78 in your programs, number one in your hots, 15-year NFL vet and Eagles great Hollis Thomas.
Good evening, guys.
How are you, sir?
I'm happy to see you back.
What up, Hollis?
Good. What's up, man?
I'm the dude.
Mr. Lebowski.
I know. Wait, it's been a while, great, man.
It's Big Lebowski.
I have that one somewhere. Shut the fuck up, Donnie. where is it? There it is.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Oh, now I know where Angelo got that from.
Finally, yeah.
Well, no. Well, see, we used to do a thing down at the market down in Seattle, and so we lost connection, and so one of the interns brought donuts over to us, and all of a sudden, Angelo say, "Put the fucking donuts down. We're in a crisis situation." And everybody's like, "And I was the only." And that's what
you got.
I laughed. It was funny as shit.
That's great.
It was the funniest shit I've ever seen. He's like, and then he turns to me. He's like, "You think I was a little harsh?" I was like, "Slightly."
Well, time for some big announcements. Actually, time for some sponsor announcements and then one big Green Legion Radio announcement. It's really important. It's going to take and jump our show to the next level, and I mean that in every way. Those who have made this possible, however, do not forget, always, if you're drinking beer, you are drinking Miller Lite. If you are not drinking Miller Lite for whatever reason and you're drinking vodka, make sure it is our good friends over at Stateside Distilled right here in beautiful Fishtown. Bucks County Baseball Company, that's BucksCountyBaseballCO.com, and our good friend J.P. Lutz. The website is bigger than the store. Again, difficult to believe, but is the case. Our good friend Mike McVeigh over at David Dodge Chrysler Jeep. I believe somebody in this room has something from Mr. McVeigh.
Yeah, no, I got you too.
Well, no, he's bringing back the Jeep Genie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I was at David Dodge a few weeks ago. Those guys are great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's cool because, like, you know, if you're sitting and waiting, I mean, they'll help you, hook you up with a car if need be. But if you want to sit and wait for an
just
hour,
talk to McVeigh about sports.
We just bullshit about the birds. That's it. Great.
Yep.
All of our Cavs restaurants, good friend Kenny Hutchings and Pat Pavlicek. Cavanaugh's River Deck, tabled from last Friday because, of course, fucking rained. But as well, our good friends Cavs Head House, just off of South Street on 2nd. We were there on, what day was that?
Which
Monday.
One?
When did we go to Head House?
Are you talking about the one on 2nd?
The one we just went, me and Palmer. That was Monday.
That was Monday, yeah.
What's today, Wednesday?
Yeah, today's Wednesday.
Whew.
Man, that time flies.
Fucked up. Of course, our good friends at Cavs Rittenhouse, Paul working the basement bar, which Hollis and I were at on Saturday.
Awesome.
Yep, awesome sauce.
Yes, nice. It was.
Yeah, so we've been getting around to our sponsors, trying to make sure they know we're.
This new leaf Quimby, man, it's really hitting hard, huh?
I'm getting out of my comfort zone, and you know what? Honestly, Northern Liberties kind of sucks right now. There's just no good sports bar or anything that's, you know.
Right.
We love our friend Arone over at North Bowl, but you know that's hippie heaven.
Yeah.
The Standard Tap doesn't even have fucking televisions.
These are all great spots, but when you just need to watch a game.
Just need to watch a game and get some wings, just chill. And Urban Brewery is fucking awesome from a watch standpoint, but their alcohol selection sucks balls.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's all their crafts, and then they have a very limited selection of spirits. They don't even carry Jameson. What bar doesn't carry Jameson?
Yeah, you gotta.
And it's not a knock on them. I guess that's their marketing.
Right.
Boy, but it doesn't work for me. And
it's a slight knock.
So, well, it might be a slight knock. Urban Brewery, I've been there a bunch of times. I know.
You know what you're going for, but to watch the game, you kind of need. I find that with most breweries in general. I love breweries. I go to breweries like at least once every 2 weeks. There's a bunch around out where I am. And even, you know, I'll go wherever. But the TV situations is usually pretty weak.
That's definitely the case. And where Dos Segundos is great. There's no fucking TVs. There's a tube TV in the top corner.
TV?
It's tube.
Which is what they're going for.
Yeah, that's what they want.
Yeah.
I haven't seen one of them in ages.
I wouldn't go in there if I were you. That floor is ready to go.
Oh, dear Lord.
I'm not kidding. I've worried about it myself.
Really?
Yeah.
It crackles like that?
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Snap,
it's not,
crackle.
It's not big dog friendly?
No.
as a big dog, you know, I test out every chair and every floor just by putting one foot in. I probably put one foot in and go, like, I'm going to go next door. Let me go next door.
Pulling back our final Cavs restaurant, 39th and Sansom, where Diaz and I went to college. Check out our good Brian, our good friend Brian up there as well. And they have gotten a lot of money from me lately, our good friends over at Delilah's and the beautiful women that work there.
Oh, yes.
And Delilah's is going to have that announcement as part of them coming up here in just a moment.
Oh.
Our good friends in Manioc, Bourbon Blue, number 2 Rector Street, down at the bottom of the hill. Their deck is open, our good friends, at the top of the hill. Bourbon Blue. The Bayou and Cactus, good friends of the program, all of them, for the last 2 decades. That's 2 decades, Bourbon Blue, the Bayou Cactus, and the Manioc Sport and Social Club, the most social intramural sports leagues in Philadelphia. Check all of them out. And, of course, our good friend Ken Davies and all the City Fitness Philadelphia locations, Northern Liberties Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, and Market East. Big announcement, everybody. The entire show takes a whole turn next week, baby. First young lady in studio, Jasmine. She will be in. She will be on the pole.
Oh.
Jasmine on the pole.
Jasmine on the pole. Very simply put, everyone, we are going to an interactive show. We enjoy what we put together so far. The camaraderie is there. The banter is there. We all enjoy each other. Well, some of us enjoy each other more than others, Diaz.
Wonderful.
But we do think we have a program here that we can take to another level, and we're going to do that. Pop's still going to be 100% part of the show, but he's going to take away a little bit of mic time, and he's going to start producing all of our Facebook Live feeds, including the Facebook Live feed that's going to be on our beautiful dancers from Delilah's. We will have one every week. In case you guys didn't know, we had a stripper pole installed in the studio. And we will be featuring one girl from Delilah's every week here on the show. Please watch us. Listen to us. You know, we want the podcast and the downloads. All right. Make sure you download us, iTunes and Google Play. But you'll also now have an opportunity to not only listen to us live if you want, but to watch us live. And, of course, when we get to be just a little bit too much to look at, we'll make sure Pops turns the camera back over to the pole. And when you look at us and you say,
"How about new?"
We move to the pole. So we're looking forward to that in a big way. And we're also going to condense our shows. We're not going to go any more than an hour and 15 minutes at any point in time. If we do, we're cutting it short. We don't want to just blast this out and just keep talking about anything you guys don't want to listen to. And I might be doing that right now. So that being said, today is?
May 1st.
May the 1st. May
and
Day. May Day.
Whose birthday?
Whose birthday?
Kate Smith.
Okay. I told you.
A perfect segue into our Flyers segment, which has now been closed to the Sixers.
Wait a minute. Kate Smith also, her long-running radio show also started today, too.
Ooh, what year? How old was she when she got into this biz?
1931.
And when was she born?
1919? She was born in 1907.
Okay. All right, 24. Wow. Yeah. That's good for her.
Guess who else's birthday it is today? Chuck Benderek.
Funny Chuck Benderek fact. He used to swim in my mom's pool. They just like come home and he'd be floating in the pool.
What do all three of these men have in common? Three people that have never been in my kitchen.
My aunts used to babysit him. He said he used to stiff him all the time.
But really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Concrete job.
I can see that.
Up in Abington, yeah.
Sixers, Diaz.
Give us something.
Yeah. Talk to us. What do you think so far? What did you – I'll tell you real quick what concerned me, and it changed significantly. The Raptors were doing in game one, I mean, the Sixers looked gassed by midway through the third quarter.
Right.
Either the wind was taken out of them, or it was literally pulled the fuck out of their lungs.
Stick a fork in them, baby. They were done.
They were done.
What
happened there? I mean, other than the obvious in the first quarter when the Raptors shot 14 in a row, field goals in a row.
They could miss.
There was a couple. It was ugly. Like the end of the game was just like, all right, you know, just forget. Just this is a game you got to just forget about and go on. What's his name? Kawhi. What's his name? Kawhi and Siakam they shot something like 29 of 38 on the day.
74 points they scored.
Yeah, between the two of them and what was the total points? Like 109 or something?
109 to 95?
Yeah, I mean, they scored all their points. They didn't miss at all. And there was like a free throw discrepancy of 15 or something like that. Now, that's not like... Oh well, the Sixers could have won if all this crazy shit. They got their butts kicked. Right. But it's also something like, okay, I'm going to go into the next game thinking those guys, you know, we're going to adjust our defensive, you know, roles a little bit. But if they shoot 50%, you win that game. Mm-hmm. You know, or if the free throw discrepancy kind of averages out a little closer, then they would quote unquote win that game. But like, they got their asses kicked. I was just like, move on to game two and let's see what happens.
Did you? When you talk about the discrepancy in game one, I noticed that too because when we were going to the hole, they were not calling anything.
I know.
And it was a lot. It was they were pushing us. They were kind of pushing us around a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
100% noticed
that. You noticed that in game one, and that when I talk about the referees or the officials, that's the one thing. It's like you have if you're going to call it on the other end, you have to call it on this end also, or somebody's going to get thrown. So if the people you're not calling for are going to get thrown out of the game because the coach is going to say something.
And I think they had there was a makeup call on Lowry,
right?
With one of those,
because
that was a bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Foul that Tobias got called for.
It's like because it's like he's 5'10", and Tobias is 6'8". As soon as he turned around, it's going to be a wraparound. Come on.
But it wasn't enough to.
Yeah,
to even out what looked like
very bad discrepancy of calls because if you watch our first quarter, you can see we was going to the hole and a lot of times we went to the hole. You can see guys being pushed in the back. That's a foul. I don't know. Okay, when they push you in the back and then also rebound and stuff too, they were pushing us in the back because you can see our guys when they jump, they was kind of pushing them in the back. And I don't know if the refs
pushing in the back. What is that from? Jerky Boys. It's a Craig call.
Wow, Jerky Boys. That's
oh,
a,
God.
Man, now, who here had 25 minutes for Quimby's first 1980s reference? Like, who had that?
When he said that, I was about to go to Roy D. Mercer.
Yeah. I will not be judged by my pop culture, sir.
Do you guys know Roy D. Mercer?
No.
He's going to whoop somebody like Quimby. He's a prank caller, too. He calls places and be one of his famous quotes is, "I'm gonna whoop that ass like cornbread batter."
Holy shit!
But he's got a whole like a montage of CDs where he calls people, but they would pay him to call people and prank call them.
Really?
Yeah, he prank called Goldberg one time.
Oh yeah,
It's
really?
It should be on
that's
YouTube.
That's a ballsy one.
Yeah. It was funny as hell too.
Oh my God, did you watch? We're focused. But got to watch the Tyson interview. In Canada that he showed me.
I hipped him to
that. Oh my God, bro.
Did you watch it? You watched it?
I didn't watch it again. We watched the whole thing.
You watched it? We listened to it. Were you watching it?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
so you have to see Tyson's face.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I remember Tyson. He was a bad. I'm still afraid of him.
That is not the look you wanted.
No.
Oh shit.
No.
Because he was about to go anyway. Shoot. He's about to beat him like he beat up Mitch Green.
Yeah.
Oh God, dude. I don't even remember the guys he used to fight. But well back to the Sixers.
Back to the Sixers. So like, that the game one, we put a fork in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But game two, like, listen, if that's how they got a win, and like Toronto's better, they had home court.
Yeah, they still have home court.
We split at home.
They still have home court.
No.
They still have home court.
We split one of theirs at home. That's why we have home court now.
Yeah.
No, there's still game seven at home. It's now best of five series.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, they still have home court. We have to pull two out.
Okay.
If we pull two out at home, then we pull.
But okay. Stealing the one is good.
Stealing the one, no. Yeah. Hold on a second. You don't get that one.
Yeah.
It's a battle.
It gets ugly.
It's a battle. Now, what they need to do. What they need to do is they need to come back tomorrow night and win at home, get momentum on their side, keep the fucking crowd in that game,
right.
Yeah,
big time. The crowd will help them win that game. And if they can do that, it's either a 6 or 7-game series. It's automatically a 6, but more than likely it'll be at least a 7-game series. And, you know, God forbid, or God willing, they pull out the third game.
Right.
It's over.
Yeah. Right. Well, when you look at what you're speaking of, they can't
or the
do
fourth
like,
game. Sorry,
they can't do like they did in the second game and let them come back like they did.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
you know Toronto's good. They're going to push.
I know, but at home.
I know
that. But like if they come back because they already like Toronto. If you listen to all the interviews Toronto had, they feel like they just had a lull, and so when you have a team like that that's slightly complacent, and you have a real superstar. And you have Marc Gasol. You saw what he could do.
Gasol's a stud, dude.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like
and he's not afraid of Joel.
Exactly.
And no, he's the best defender on Joel.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Samaki. I told you about that kid.
Siakam.
Siakam. Yeah. He's a beast.
Yeah. You get in his face a little bit. You know, he missed his first 7 or 8 shots.
He is just 5 pounds heavier than Manute Bol.
Yeah.
And he's from Cameroon, just like
JoJo. Yeah. Yeah.
But when you look at the grand scheme of things, we can't let them come in our house and kick our ass because as going on the road, when I was on the road, I never gave a damn about the crowd. Sorry. I never gave a damn about the crowd. It's like so.
We got everybody every now and then. If you hear Hollis pause, we got he derails every show. We got to pull him back and slow him down a little bit.
I speak like Porky the Pig sometimes. So I talk real extremely fast.
You should have. I didn't think that, but now that you said it first, man.
I said Porky the Pig, but when you look at the way that game two went. It was a couple times where if they had been on the road, they would have banded together and they may have pulled that game out. We can't let them come into our house and do that.
They should have been up by more at half. I know I said that with the people I was watching with.
No,
and then Barkley said like they threw away the ball.
Yeah,
some of the turnover. It's weird.
Turnovers.
All turnovers aren't the same.
But they're all the same.
Like they're all the same. And
that's all, folks.
Boom.
Wow. That drop is unfortunately never going to leave. Yeah.
I know. Because
if it was back during the Pep days, 5:55, we could have edited that out.
But it was like what you said about the turnovers, we can't – when we play –
just dropping the ball, going out of bounds.
Yeah. And just like the drop. We can't have those type of turnovers against teams like this because they're on the road, a team is more together on the road than any time. And if we give them that the turnover thing, if we turn over the ball like 15, 20 times and they're here, they're going to steal one. And they may steal two. It's like because when you look at Kawhi Leonard is a fucking superstar.
Yeah, he's
a
real
true
good, man.
Superstar.
Stud.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a stud. Yeah.
That's why everybody was trying to get him. And you put Marcus on that and the kid. And not only that, you had to put Lowry.
Yeah.
You had to put Lowry in that. And they have a bunch of role players that just know their role.
Yeah, and that's the difference. You look at it. And who is the, you know, like the Danny Green? You see Danny Green, like, yeah, whatever. But he's just a vet.
Yeah.
He's played. He's got experience.
He's a marksman.
He's not stupid.
But he's a marksman.
Yeah,
though.
He can hit shots, but we don't have that bench guy that just comes in. I mean, hey, hats off to Greg Monroe last game. I'm like,
right?
Oh my God.
No. Where the fuck did he come from?
I know.
Oh my God.
He was on Toronto.
Was,
he was actually on Milwaukee and Toronto's team.
Yeah. All four teams. He was on Boston too.
Yeah. And also today is Amir Johnson's birthday. I don't know.
Everyone loves Amir, and I love
you're worried about my Porky Pig reference.
It's like, man, Amir, I don't know why they didn't cut him out. I'm still pissed. I'll tell you what. I do not need to see freaking Furkan Korkmaz.
Thank you.
The rest of the series.
He's been horrible.
God awful.
After the trade in February or whenever it was,
right.
You liked it because it was another big body.
I like the trade coming in of what we got, and I'm like, oh, this is good. We don't have to see Furkan Korkmaz anymore, and then he's still getting time.
Well, it's because Scott is hurt.
Yeah, I know, but still, I'd rather see Zaire.
Exactly. That's what I was.
I mean,
give
him and let him get smoked. Yeah. You know, but like this guy's offering nothing. If he's not hitting shots. If he goes 1 for 3, he gives up way more on the other end. He's got to be like 3 for 4 for it to be worthwhile to get
exactly.
I'll tell you what I've gathered from this series and the playoffs in general, but more so in this game on Monday than anything so far. Your key signing in this offseason has to be Jimmy Butler.
It better be.
It leaps and bounds.
It better be.
And I thought for a while he was going to be the forgotten man after the Tobias Harris trade.
Right.
Nope.
And you know when he shows up? He shows up when we need him, what we didn't have last year. He's a closer.
Clutch.
He's a closer. And we didn't have that. Now we have that guy. We don't have to defer to bit. All we have to do is stop turning the ball over. We got to keep the turnovers less than 15.
Yeah.
It's like because we have 15, 20 turnovers every game
yeah.
against good teams and going forward.
In the playoffs, it doesn't work
that way. You're playing against great teams.
Yeah.
So we got to cut that out.
Still have an issue with Brett Brown not finding a way to get him more involved in the offense.
You're not the only one.
I mean, it's mind-boggling. And, again, you know, maybe – he just warms up at the end of the game, and he wants that pressure. But fuck, man, I'm sorry. I'll take you all four quarters.
Yeah.
I'll take what you bring to the table all four quarters. And I think he's been an extremely, extremely professional with regards to how he's handled it. He has not said
anything.
I think he did in the beginning, and Joel actually stood up for him. Right. You know, I don't really know what my role is here. Yeah. And guess what? Hey, Jimmy, I think we all are asking the same thing today on May 1st. What is, you know, we don't know what your role is either. But
it's going to be a crazy offseason because it's like you're absolutely right. But are you going to give him a 5-year max? He's 30. I mean, like that's
I would. See, this is why I would.
That's a lot. You're tying up $45 million in like 5 years.
But I would do that mainly because what he brings to the table in general. I would rather that Ben Simmons start attacking early and get everybody going. And then on him attacking, you know, start deferring to Butler and get Butler started. Because sometimes I hate when Simmons does not attack and he always looks like he's sometimes he goes
into,
exactly that right there.
Our video.
Yeah, he's 6'10", and he's like, dude, just dunk the ball. You're there already. Don't turn around looking for nobody else.
If 5'10" Allen Iverson can drive the ball to the net every time, 6'10" Ben Simmons better.
Yeah. You better and dunk it on. You have to dispense some street justice.
That's right. Dunk on it.
He plays better when he's angry.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's been playing good defense too.
Well, he's been angry.
Yeah.
Because he didn't realize, I think he's finally getting, you know, we obviously had playoff experience last year, but he's finally getting a taste of what playing good teams is going to be like, and people that are going to try to rough him up.
Yeah,
because it's you know, this is what, shit or get off the pot.
Exactly.
Right.
And he's getting angry about it.
Yeah, but when you said that part, the part I don't like is as a guy his size and his stature, you're supposed to come in and exact your dominance. Everybody's supposed to be scared of you. Because you're 6'10", 250. You need to come down the lane and make them know your presence. It's like, don't go in there timid.
I'll tell you what, in all fairness to the conversation, just so we have it.
Right.
All right. I've seen Joel take a couple threes
right.
here in the playoffs, but he's definitely brought them down.
Right.
And I love watching him get angry and go to the hole.
Yeah.
That two-step fucking dunk he had in the last game against the Nets.
Right. Yeah.
All day. All day. And when he has his legs.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets up there, dude. Just, what are you
going to
do?
Get out of the way.
You know,
just get out.
You're just going to get fucking killed.
And I loved last game when how he shut down Smaki. Not Smaki, but
Siakam.
Because it's a Smaki. It's another
Smaki. Yeah, it's great.
It's Smaki walking.
Because Gasol can't shoot from, you know, he's just started shooting from outside, so they put Harris on him.
Right.
That's what will be interesting on tomorrow night. We'll see if Toronto starts feeding Gasol more when Harris is on him, and if that brings the switch back, Harris on Siakam. We'll see.
Yeah, we're going to take our first break here on the Sports Blizzard. Everybody, we'll be back right after this. Those companies and sponsors that allow this to take place: Miller Lite, Stateside Vodka, Bucks County Baseball Company, David Dodge Chrysler Jeep, all the Cavanaugh's restaurants, Head House, River Deck, Rittenhouse, and University City. Delilah's, Bourbon Blue, the Bayou Cactus, Manioc Sport and Social, and, of course, all the City Fitness Philadelphia locations. Northern Liberties, Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, Market East. We're going to do something a little different today because our good friend Mr. Diaz has to leave early and get ready to get on his 6 a.m. flight to New Orleans for his bachelor party.
Got to rest up.
Jazz Fest, yeah. So we're going to do the Phillies as we usually do it. Flyers, which, you know, we spend no time on. Sixers, Phillies, Eagles. We're going to jump right to the birds right now.
Let's talk draft.
Yeah, we're going to talk draft. We're going to talk some concerns. I feel a lot better about some of the draft picks, especially after talking to you,
right,
Hollis. And, you know, it makes me feel more confident, you know, about the route that we went. However, still some glaring weaknesses on this team that – I'm curious as to why they didn't address at all,
right?
Anyway,
well, I was going to help you out because what they did was they got a bunch of free agents. Apparently, the linebacking core
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
No, you're jumping.
Yeah. No. I'm talking about rookie free agents after the draft.
Yeah, I know, but unsigned.
No.
It happens. Some undrafted guys turn out pretty good.
I was undrafted. They don't know what
someone turned into a 15-year career.
They don't know what they're talking about when some of the guys evaluated. Yeah, they got awful. You didn't even know that, did you?
I knew you were undrafted.
Yeah, but it's like it's a couple of guys that I covered. It was the linebacker out of Wisconsin that they got. I love that kid. That's the middle linebacker that I like. They have a kid, a young Warthog, out of UAB.
Okay, we didn't read the
run sheet,
but that's okay. Okay. You didn't read the run sheet, but that's okay.
Oh, sorry. Deepest apology, sir. Yeah.
A lot of time goes into the
Let's
run
talk
sheet.
First okay. about the draft picks.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And then we're going to get to an overall draft grade.
Okay.
Positions that we needed that they didn't address in the immediate draft, but
we
did in free agency.
Okay.
But let's talk about Andre Dillard,
okay?
Because that's obviously the big dog in this thing.
Right.
Immediately followed by Sanders,
correct?
Because that that hits home for a lot of people here.
1-2 punch.
How do you feel about that, Q? Quimby lives on Mount Nittany. He loves it up there. The air is clear.
I wasn't prepared for that.
Well, you should have been happy they drafted two.
Well, once they picked Miller, I went straight to the first off, Facebook trolling Quimby is the best kind of way. So I'm like, oh, wow, is he still – someone check to see if Quimby's still alive. There's two Penn State players. It's great. I'm like, we're going to see a whole bunch of 24 and 48 jerseys in the tailgate parties now.
So, Dillard, Diaz, what do you think? Your thoughts?
I mean, I used to try and delve into all these draft picks back in the day, and you're just always completely wrong. So I just let it play. I pay attention. He was the best, you know, pass blocker in the draft. Big kid, fast. I wanted them to draft an offensive or defensive lineman, and I don't know all the players and how they fell, and so I'm happy with it. It's more like I look at the overall each pick. I feel better about than I feel about the overall draft. So Dillard is that's cool. I mean, we need a left tackle. That's awesome. Well, it makes me it also is like the Jordan Mailata thing that everyone hopes works. I just hope he's on the team and if he's this guy's the best rated pass blocker, he was some people had him at somewhere between 10 and 20,
right.
And he got him at 22, and this is all pre-draft shit, doesn't mean anything, but still he's highly rated. I hope my lotto works out, but this guy's he could be your guy for the next 10 years.
Are you good with House? Are you good with what they gave up to move up those two picks?
I am, because
a fourth and a sixth.
Well, yeah, because we actually just need an offensive lineman in general, because Brandon Brooks is coming off of Achilles injury. They let go of Wisniewski. I don't know what the hell for.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Exactly.
Especially wondering about, what
Brandon Brooks.
And
Sayamalu. Everybody was they were trying to get me in on Sayamalu, but the eye in the sky doesn't lie. That means I watch film.
Right.
And he was getting his ass kicked on a regular. Right. I hope he does better this season, because everybody keeps telling me how strong he is. I was like, if he's that strong, then why every time that they go for a pass, he's in Carson's lap? So it's when you look at the grid, and you can't, and when you do that, I like it because I don't want Jason Kelce play will suffer if he has two guards on the side of him that don't know what the hell to do, I used to kill him, and then I watched film one time, and I realized he has to basically tell them what the hell to do, and then make sure he does his job too. So a lot of times he the ball is snapping, I used to say that too.
So you think Kelce's play went down because he had two fucking numbnut bookends?
Yeah, exactly, right next to him. So it's like when he would play great when Wisniewski was next to him, because Wisniewski was a pro and he knew what to do. But if you notice, every time they pull Wisniewski out, what they were trying to do. Was they would play Wisniewski the first quarter, and what would we do in the first quarter? We would score about 14 points, wouldn't we?
Right.
The second quarter, all of a sudden Carson's getting hit, and you're like, "What the hell happened?" That's because they took Wisniewski out. And so it's like you had when you watch that, it's kind of, and you never know why they do things like that, why they can't see that he's the better guy.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a weird deal. That's a mystery we'll never figure out.
And, well, I figured it out, but it's because
let's get back to. What we're trying to accomplish here, which is our draft picks.
That's right.
My concern was, we've heard this guy's a great pass blocker,
right?
But apparently, he can't run block to save his mother.
Well, yeah.
Well, I think what it is, he's not as good. He's not terrible,
right?
But I mean, this actually leads. If we'll jump right into the second pick after this, it's just they're not. Like a big running team. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say they don't like to run it.
I get it, but
they're going to pass 70% of the time.
You're right.
And he's not a terrible run blocker.
Right.
I just think he's not considered an elite talent there.
Well, when you look at the school he came from, Washington State.
Yeah, they just throw.
Then all they do is throw. So it's like they don't have anything to evaluate them on. Literally, I watched last night them praise a guy from Kansas State who sucks ass. Every highlight they showed, he was holding. That's holding. Well, you got your hands out here on the back of him. That's holding. They was like, look at him. He stabs. He's like, he's tough. When they say he's tough, that means NFL. not when he gets to the NFL, he's probably going to get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
So.
Well, overall grade, Andre Dillard, you think?
A.
I gave him a B.
Game
of B. I gave it B on the entire draft though, but so
yeah,
okay. Because it was like they went totally offense on me, and I'm a defensive guy, so it's like
we're gonna address that in a big way here in a second.
Okay.
But you're right, it's a good segue, Diaz, into our second pick, Mr. Miles Sanders, and I'm gonna do that all day. Simply put, I just don't think Penn State's a quality program.
Sorry. Oh, good turn right there. Wow. Okay, you got. I knew it was going to be a part of this. I didn't know if it was going to be for the fourth pick or the second pick, but. But that's, you know, I'm happy.
I actually like the pick.
I like the pick. The
only but here is why, real fast, so you get an understanding of my distaste. It's Penn State alumni are some of the most obnoxious entitled fucks on the planet. Now we've traveled, Penn State alumni. We traveled two
Ireland,
specific
right?
trips. Mm-hmm. Those guys were great. Honestly, you know, some of the nicest people you'll ever meet in your life. And you know, you can tell they're a little jaded, but there's a consortium and a group I know.
A reality.
I ran a trip to the Orange Bowl when Penn State played Florida State in 2005, I think it was.
Yeah, something like
and,
that.
And, you know, I had three guys just legitimately stiff me $300 a pop on ticket and tailgate. Because that's what I paid, you know,
that's what the cost.
No, we're not paying you.
Whoa.
And back then, $900 was,
that was
a lot of money.
That was the ass we waited to happen.
And I'd put up looking at this fucking prick for years in Avalon, laughing at me every time he walked by. And I should have just had him fucking taken out, but I didn't. And I saw him recently. He used to be like really well built.
Right
now, you know, he looks like an AIDS patient. So, whatever disease you have, bro, you deserve it. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah.
Tell us how you really.
6'17".
Yeah, your subconscious mind came to the forefront.
But in all fairness, the thing that bothers me the most is when you have. All right. I've heard this. Penn State alumni. Oh, my God. Miles Sanders is going to be our next Shady McCoy.
Oh, God.
No, he's not. The guy's not even going to catch the ball out of the fucking backfield.
just hope he's not the next Kajana Carter.
Right.
So, I mean, what's the knock on Sanders, right, is that he doesn't have good hands.
Okay.
Right? Is that sort
well,
of...
I mean... From what I see, again, I'm not breaking down the film.
Okay.
You know, like, does he have fumble issues? I don't know. I feel like there's just not a whole lot of sample size. Now, he has a one season, and this is kind of how I feel about the pick overall, which is like, hey, no, it's cool. You know, it's good. We're taking care of that. But then you look back at some of the second-round picks that they passed. Now, they haven't had second-round picks, you know, Carson trade and stuff.
Right.
But, you know, like Sidney Jones and, you know.
By the way, Chris Sack said you're a part-timer.
Quinn Caver.
We're
talking about second-round picks. Quinn Caver.
Oh.
Was he linebacker or DN?
Linebacker.
Oh, my gosh. There's Jaquan Jarrett. Okay. You know, yeah, there's plenty. But
Barry
you pass on a running back, you're like, okay, I'm happy we got a guy that's rated high, second running back off the board. But you pat, like, and listen, I can't complain about the last 3 years. You can't. 4 years, you know, the guys that they brought in. But it's kind of like, I don't know if that guy is going to, his floor is low and his ceiling is low.
You know what?
His floor is high, his ceiling is low.
And it goes against the Howie Roseman draft grain. Like it didn't ever appear as though he was going to try to plug any running back holes high in the draft.
Right.
I thought it's more like it's more like the linebacker position, which we're going to get to in a few minutes, is more like a plug-in position for them.
Right.
They're not going to do it.
But
I was shocked. And the funny part here is we had a really nice kid come up to us at Cavs Rittenhouse. You know, he walks up, Hollis, I'm a big fan. Hey, do you mind if I get a picture? And, you know, he's talking, nice kid. He goes, so I'm from Penn State. And I'm like this.
Oh,
and he goes, I really hope they take Miles Sanders. And we're Hollis and I are both like, what? Running back, second round? No. And the Eagles with the number with their first second round pick take Miles Sanders.
Like, what
the fuck? So Miles Sanders, great. Hollis.
Yeah. Well, I like it. I like the pick mainly because it gives us a 1-2 punch. And I think with what he was saying about the hands and stuff and all those fumbles, I think with limited touches, he'll be more productive because he knows this is his only chance.
Gotcha.
And so it's like when you give a guy limited production and that's your chance to shine and make your bread.
Karell Buckhalter.
Buckhalter. A lot of people don't know.
Maybe Westbrook.
Buckholter had one of the highest
touches in the beginning.
In the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but he was like, punt. I was like, oh, man, is he not going to return punts anymore?
Well, once they gave him a bigger role, you can't put your main guy back there. So.
Yeah. That's no, hard. I agree. But, it was like the other side of the the coin. It was fun to watch him do that.
Miles Sanders, great.
Yeah, good.
I say B.
I've got nothing. I know nothing about Whiteside.
That's sort of the thing. I haven't watched him play at all. But
hold on a second. We got you. We know you do.
Yeah, yeah. But well, you okay? I'm going to give one side here, Hollis. You talk me out of it or concur. Okay. You tell. I just the idea of this red zone threat, like that's awesome. But like we have like four red zone threats right now. You know
well,
what I mean?
Well, DeSean Jackson's not a red zone
exactly.
threat.
Exactly.
No, I know, but we got Dallas Goedert, we got Zach Ertz, we got Alshon Jeffrey. You know, you have running backs. You bring in, what's his name, Jordan Howard to, like, be some bruiser.
Right.
You have Carson Wentz that can scramble. It just seems like he
look at Hollis jumping out of his chair over here.
He's ready to jump. But, like, he's really good at contested catches. I'm like, man, I want my second-round wide receiver, like – There aren't any contested catches because he's just burning people.
Right.
I would wide receiver, fine, draft a wide receiver, but draft a fast wide receiver. That's how I feel. So you tell me why I'm wrong.
Okay, well,
or you agree.
Not so much you're wrong, but it's when you look at it, you did say Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. You know how many people they jumble up in the middle of that to check those guys? And then what they do is they double team Alshon Jeffries. We have not had another guy on the other side that the kid JJ, he's the best at the 50-50 ball.
Right, that's what they say.
Yeah,
I want him to be 70-30.
But see, the thing is,
I hate the 50-50 ball.
No, but that's when he throws the ball up, he goes and gets it. He's the best at taking.
Don't
it away.
Care. I hate that.
But
I get it. It's not every pass.
It is the worst fucking called play regularly.
Well, if you're in tight down there.
Well, not so much. When I say 50-50 ball, it's like your quarterback may be in trouble and. You may not be open, but he throws the ball, and you're going to get it. He knows you're going to get it. And the thing with him is a lot of people talk about his speed. If you watch the tape on this kid, he pulls away from people and catches the ball no matter what. He has a 20
breakaway speed.
Well, not really breakaway speed. It's just like he just gets open, and it's just like I've watched him because the head coach Shaw. He was actually here. He was one of my coaches here, the head coach at Stanford. So when you look at the way the kid, he's been in the pro style office all his entire career. So
he'll contribute this year.
Yeah, he'll contribute this year, most definitely.
And the best color analyst in the league, Monty. What do you think?
I thought you were playing something. I didn't know you wanted me to chime in.
Way to be.
Monty. Way to pay attention.
I know.
Way to pay attention.
Well, I wasn't paying attention.
All right. One more. Sharif Miller, and then we're going to ask a couple questions, let Diaz go.
Okay.
And take one quick song break, one short song, come back, talk Phillies.
Let who go? Who's that?
Diaz.
I don't know who that is.
Diaz.
Robbie, I'm sorry I'm not sticking around for your show.
Diaz.
You're a part-timer here.
Hey, Chris Sack, shut the fuck up. No one asked you.
He's right, though.
What do we know about Sharif Miller other than awful situation with his brother a couple years ago, 2015, right. Getting shot four times in West Philly? Wow. I think a lot of Penn State alum even suggest that they would have liked to seen him play one more year before he came out.
My only opinion of him, I recognize him from Penn State, but like I see this picture of him and his ankles are just too thin, man. I want my DNs.
Oh, hold on, I got to interrupt one thing because you and I have to discuss this right now.
Okay.
on our show.
Okay,
okay.
What?
Andre Dillard,
right?
Okay, what did you like about him?
I just like his technique.
Nope. What did you like about?
Okay.
Is he going to say his ass? Don't you jump the gun because I want to. I'm setting you up again.
He's setting me up.
No. Go ahead. What do you like about him?
I like the fact that over the five year period, he liked football enough to gain 75 pounds.
75 pounds.
Yes.
Hollis.
Yes.
What do you believe was the cause of Teddy Bridgewater's injury?
He gained 15 to 20 pounds over the offseason, working his joints too much and not giving his body a chance to adjust to the weight and overworking his ligaments.
So are we correlating Teddy Bridgewater and Andre Dillard's
No, it was he's been planning this response for five fucking days. Okay? Yeah, you have. Yeah, you have, because I got you.
Look at that. No, face. Look at that. Oh, who, me?
I thought his JWB was about to come out of his nostril. That would have been fun.
Well, Mayor Quimby, whatever do you mean?
we're in the Uber going over to Kaz Rittenhouse, and I'm like, wait a second. What's your theory on players gaining weight and why they get injured? And he goes,
he totally passed me. He totally passed me. And it did. But one of the reasons I do like the kid was because if you look at some of the people that we drafted, they actually love to play football. When you draft, if you listen to the kid Oliver out of University of Houston.
Ed Oliver, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of kids are worried about Brandon. They're worried about Brandon and starting a business. Like you need
do
to
do the football first.
Exactly, you need to do
business.
The football first, and then the Brandon will come. Right. It's like if you're not doing your due diligence on the field, like Nick Bosa, he played three games. And they was talking about he was a top player. He sucks ass. I'm sorry, and it's like calm down, slow down.
Where did Bosa go again?
He went to San Francisco.
San Francisco. That's right. Yeah.
And it's like for them to put him at the top and talking about he's number one. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
So it was real bad, but he is correct. I did say that about Teddy Bridgewater, which was totally true, because in a year he gained 20 pounds of muscle, and he overworked his joints, and that's why he had the problem. But to the Dillard's thing, he gained it over like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. So.
15 pounds a year.
15 pounds a year, yeah. And which is this?
But also, they're at a different age. I mean, he's like 18 to 22. Right. You're gaining weight as it is natural. I mean, shit. I mean, Quimby, you're
stretching it.
You gain 15 pounds easy over those years.
Oh yeah.
And, but also, Dillard is six. What, 6'6"?
Yeah, 6'7". Yeah,
6'6", 6'7". Teddy Bridgewater's only
6'4".
Well, okay. Well, Teddy Bridgewater's 5'10", 5'11".
I'm like. Okay. All right. Let's apples and oranges.
Okay,
all right.
You win.
No, I don't want to win. We're gonna jump past Sharif. Okay. We I don't think any of us have anything really excellent to say about that. But let's talk real quick, and then we're going to say goodbye to Diaz until next week. One thing I did love is the nickname for the Giants pick. All right, already, Mr. Daniel Jones,
pick six.
Yeah, that's great.
Pick six.
Tell them the correlation I gave you.
I forget.
With Dave Brown.
Oh God.
Exact same number, exact same school, first round pick.
Yep. Man, dude, like, I don't think it's going to be pick six because I don't think he's ever going to get play. The ball out. Like, just, it's amazing. Like,
did you guys see the highlights that they were playing?
Oh, there. Well, he's 81st in the league in yards per attempt.
Yeah.
Hey, it's great. Hold on a second. I can make that pass to you, Diaz. We could have done that in intramural all fucking day.
There was something I heard where when you look at any college quarterback, whether they're like, you know, the best prospect ever, like Andrew Luck or something,
right,
or like this guy, no right. matter what it is across the board, all of them are like some number, 20 to 25% like they lower their stats. They go down by 25-30% or something like that.
Pros.
Jumping into the pros. And this guy's like, he's the 81st ranked quarterback in football. And then he's going to go down even more. You're like, oh, man, just because he looks like he has all the tools, now, you got to be able to do it.
You didn't see his face when they drafted him, did you? So, oh, me?
Deer in the headlights, but I finally have a applicable. Listen.
Okay, let's move on. Who do you like?
I like Perez. He's got a classic swing. It's real clean stroke.
I don't know. Can't hit the curveball.
Well, there's some work to be done. I'll admit that. Yeah, but there is. He's noticeable.
Got an ugly girlfriend.
What's that mean?
Ugly girlfriend means no confidence.
Okay.
Oh, no, you guys are full of it. Artie is right. This guy's got an attitude. An attitude is good. I mean, it's the kind of guy who walks into a room, his dick has already been there for 2 minutes.
Yeah, this is the eye candy test. He's got the looks. He's ready to play the part.
I wish I could play it long enough to go, we could be talking about Fabio for all I care. And like fucking 4 minutes later, the old dude in the room goes out of nowhere, who's Fabio? But actually, the first thing that what's the paper up there? The
Daily News.
The Daily News. The
Post.
The Post.
Okay.
The Post starts running with the article on how hot Daniel Jones' girlfriend is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
He wasn't the only one. It was on Instagram like nobody's business.
We got 60 more seconds to talk here. Redskins, Not impressed.
Not impressed.
No. I couldn't tell you one pick Sweat. The fucking Cowboys made.
Yeah, but because they trade him for Amari Cooper and whatever else.
Yeah,
yeah.
They were gone, right?
Yeah, they were gone, yep.
Real quick.
But they did trade for Quinn.
Yeah, they got Robert Quinn. Yeah. So that's even some of the thing, like with DeSean Jackson.
Right.
You know, what was that? What did we give up? A fourth?
Fourth.
Fourth?
Yeah, so, like, listen, he's more expensive. You got to pay him, but...
He's the best baseball tracker known to man.
For a fourth-round pick, that's who you got. You know?
And the guy that has no shot whatsoever at longevity in the league.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, he's the fastest. He's still got the speed.
Yep.
Real quick. Tell me what we're going to do in 60 seconds about linebacker.
We get out of Wisconsin.
Immediate needs.
Immediately, he's played.
I disagree with you, bro.
I totally understand that, but what you have to do is look at, he played all 4 years, and so you're actually getting a grown man.
I've been playing myself for 48.
I've been playing
myself.
Doesn't
make me any better.
I've been playing myself for 56.
Well,
I was playing myself in the womb for 6 years before I came out.
This isn't going to answer your question, but I think the idea is, especially we see what the draft is, they're loading up for Carson on offense.
Right.
The offense took a dip this past year. The defense is, there are some holes there, and you said they don't really, quote-unquote, believe in linebacker. I know what you meant. Like, of course, they would rather have
plug-in position.
Yeah, it's just a plug-in position.
Right.
They like the defensive lines. They got a ton of corners. You know, up the middle is a little soft, but...
Whoa. Up by the middle?
No, I'm saying like linebacker, safety. Soft.
You're looking at the tackles.
Not deep. Deep.
No, no. Well,
deep undercover.
Well, you had to look at the defensive tackles that they brought in. Malik Jackson, and they brought back Timmy Jernigan. Yeah. That's pretty much to shore up, pretty much to protect the linebackers.
No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. I think, and they play nickel like 70% of the time as it is.
Yeah, it's called Buffalo because a lot of people bring three wide receivers out there. They just bring another big DB in.
Right.
And a
hybrid.
Yeah, it's a hybrid.
Well,
yeah.
Jenkins usually gets in there. Yeah.
All right, good. You guys done going off the rails?
Good thing. Mazel.
Good. No, because I think that's why, like, they didn't address linebacker. Well, they juiced up the offense, and they brought in good D tackles, you know, or re-signed Jernigan. Mm-hmm. I think I'm not happy about it, but I'm not it'll work.
So all the D tackles is taking care of the linebacker position. Good.
Yeah.
I said 60 seconds. That was 187.
Sorry.
Everybody, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to say goodbye to Diaz for the last segment of our show. Brother, thanks for coming back. Good to have you.
See you in a couple.
Yeah, and we'll see you right after
TTP,
this.
TTP, Robbie.
All right, we are back on the Green Legion Radio Hour, which is now a little bit more than the Green Legion Radio Hour, but that is okay. Chris, Zach, call in, brother.
Look,
it's time.
Is look, Chris going to call in for us?
Yeah, he's going to call in.
He's going to call in. This is my guy.
Yeah, he's
he might be on child duty right now.
He is, but that's okay. That never stops him. He'll just be on the phone with one of the kids laying in his lap and the other on his chest. He's good to go. I am going to bring this up until we hear from Chris, and
that is
not necessary because he's here. Chris, are you with us?
Yes, sir. How are you gentlemen doing this evening?
All right,
what's up, Chris?
The official Green Legion Radio Phillies correspondent Chris Sack calling in from the homestead. How the kids doing tonight?
They're doing well. I'm going to attempt to do this with Jacob pretty much running rampant, and I have a cranky 2-month-old laying on top of me right now while mommy ran out to Target. So I don't think I can pull this off.
All right, so I'm just going to say this now, and then I'm going to let you have the floor. Chris, you're going to close out our show. You and Hollis can talk a little bit, can we please just get Cesar Hernandez off this team? That I fully blame him for the loss last night with that stupid fucking missed fly ball.
Yep.
And I've had it with him. He always has this little flurry,
right,
where he has a nice little hitting streak, but he's going to be dead tired by August.
Right.
His body craps out. He can't last 162 games without falling out fucking window.
Right.
And I'm done with him. But Chris, real simple. So you got any kind of outline whatsoever? Just talk about why the hitting's been in a funk, pitching needs, overall assessment. You know, a week later, and your thoughts right now.
Well, I agree with you on Cesar, but I mean, I can't completely blame last night on Cesar when they went from the second inning to the ninth inning with no hits Realmuto led off the ninth inning with a hit. The offense has been frustrating, in particular during the time frame when Segura was out. And I posted a couple statuses last night on Facebook about it. It is extremely frustrating watching this offense hit, because I feel like every guy, regardless if there's one runner, two runners, no runners on base, every guy is going up there with the thought process that they're going to hit a three-run home run, yep, regardless if anybody's on base or not. Like, you can't tie a game, you know, if you're down two or three runs, you can't tie a game with nobody on base, just swing it for the fences. You need to start a rally. And when you start a rally, that's when it starts to put pressure on a pitcher, and he throws pitches that he doesn't want to throw in high-pressure situations. And it's extremely frustrating when you're getting that from people in the middle of your order, especially Harper and Hoskins. And a lot of people, big topic of conversation today was how Harper got booed last night. Well, I've been getting frustrated watching Harper's at-bats for about the better part of the last week. And really, I remember the thing that Hoskins said back in September of 2017 when he came up and he was lighting the world on fire with hitting home runs in his first 2 months. He said, home runs happen when you're not trying to hit them. They happen because you're locked into the rest of the zone. And when you're hitting it square on the barrel, home runs are going to happen. And that's the part that's been extremely frustrating about this offense, because it seems like everybody's just trying to hit home runs instead of just getting on base and trying to force mistakes from the pitcher so the next guy can get the job done.
Well, when you said that, I was kind of like I was thinking the same thing, because everybody's coming up there, they're letting the first pitch go. And the first
That's
pitch,
why you got to get rid of that cancer Odubel Herrera.
Well, you kind of need him now. Because
he's going to do nothing except swing for defense.
Well, sometimes
we all know that.
But sometimes he swings for contact. I think the weird thing is everybody swings for contact sometimes.
Sorry.
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead.
Hold on a second. I want to hear what the 2-month-old has to say.
do you hear him?
Yeah, we hear him. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He might be
I'm putting his binky back in.
He might be the worst swinger in baseball.
Odubel Herrera?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, but when you look at it, everybody's swinging for the fences, just like Chris said.
Yeah.
So it's like the one thing that I hate, and I hate to see, is nobody swinging for contact to just get the ball in play to get the run home or to advance the base runner.
It's infuriating, too, especially it's happening to, guys like listen, McCutchen scored 24 runs in the month of April or in the first month of the season. Harper, he's had his spots. But guys like that, when the pitchers are pitching you away and you know it, I can't tell you how many times I've seen McCutchen especially get struck out on the outside part of the plate.
Right.
Dude, choke up and poke it to the right.
When you see the best number two hitter in the league right now, just fucking throw the bat out there and poke it to right field.
Oh, my God. How many times have you seen that at least 5 times this year?
Yeah.
Ripped it down the first baseline over top of the first base bag between the bag and the first baseman, and he's gotten a double or a triple out of it every single time. It's all about bat control. It's
frustrating.
Do not have discipline, and they all look like they're pressing.
It's frustrating when you don't see the rest of the team trying to emulate the guy who's batting 324.
I was looking at this, and I was like, man, Tony Gwynn was great, because all he did was put the ball in play and try to get runs to score in advance. And he played. Sometimes people don't want to play small ball, but occasionally you have to play that to win.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain spots in the game where you're going to come up and you're going to have opportunity to hit one out of the ballpark. But it doesn't have to be every single at-bat. Get on base, and there's so much depth in this lineup, especially when Franco's batting eighth and he's second on the team in RBIs. All you really do and you need to do is just get on base and bust the next guy to get the job done. There's so much depth in this lineup that they're going to be able to get it done for you. And just until Harper and Hoskins and Realmuto get that through their heads, especially Harper himself.
I don't have any knocks on Realmuto right now.
Right now, I was going to ask. I had a question for Chris. Do you think Gabe Kapler's the way he tries to make back guys take the pitcher deep in the counts is having an effect on them taking that those first pitches that are the only good pitches that they're probably going to get.
You're talking about. Can you repeat that, Hollis?
I said. Do you think Gabe Kapler's approach to taking the pitcher deep into the count has an effect on guys batting taking the first couple of pitches, which are pretty much the only good pitches that they're getting?
I think that was more of a thing last year. Okay. Earlier this season, when the first week of the season, they weren't extremely aggressive.
Chris, hang on. I don't think you heard him right. Hollis is wondering if Kapler's approach to trying to take pitchers deep in the count is taking away from the good pitches that our players are going to have to hit in the top of the in the beginning of the at bat.
Kapler's approach, like his analytic side, can be infuriating. I think if anything, a lot of people haven't really been on Kapler yet, and Hollis, you know this from talking, from being on the radio in the morning too. I really don't think a lot of people have been riding Kapler yet. About his approach.
I don't know if he can.
I think Cap was pressing.
Well, I don't know if he can just yet. You got three guys on the team with 20 or more RBIs already.
Right.
You got three guys on the team that are hitting seven plus home runs.
Mm-hmm.
This team should easily hit 200 home runs this season.
But if you look at these stats though, a lot of them have come in waves, because when this offense funks and it disappears,
right,
it looks really bad for a few days. And especially when you're playing in ballparks, like they struggled in Coors Field. In Coors Field. It's just, a lot of times, like, it just feels like when they get through the first part of the order and they don't get something going early on in the game, then it's just like it mentally blocks them for the rest of the game. And I saw earlier in the season where they were down 6-2 in that one game in Washington, and they came back and took an 8-6 lead. Like, gosh, I thought we were going to be expecting that a lot. And then there's just times where it just gets out of control and the offense can't find their way out. And then all of a sudden, Kapler's making bad decisions with the bullpen in the game. And the next thing you know, you're down 14-0. They need to get more consistent across the board. And like I said, it feels like they're pressing, in my opinion, from watching how tense they are at the plate.
Yeah.
It might be a reflection of the manager who now is being pressed into winning in his second season, and, they collapsed on the stretch.
I feel so bad for him.
Hey, Chris, I got a quick question for you. Were you, it's actually more of a statement. Have you noticed that every time we come up against a pitcher that we haven't seen, we get told he turns into a new Cy Young, the next Nolan Ryan?
Oh, this has been for years.
Exactly.
It's not just this version of the Phillies. I can remember, 10 years ago, back when they won the World Series, every time they went up against a player, the pitcher that they have not seen, they turn into the next version. Hold on, Mommy's going to grab Carson here.
Well, while she's grabbing him, the thing that pissed me off was when we went down to Miami, and the one guy had a damn near 6 ERA, and we got one hit on him.
Oh, you're talking about Urena.
Yeah.
One hit, that's all we got. Yes. One goddamn hit.
Actually, it was higher than that, Hollis. I think it was 8 or 9 at the time.
Oh, God.
But
actually,
Urena is kind of one of those guys that, he wasn't a new pitcher, and it wasn't the first time that they've seen him.
Mm-hmm.
Urena has been around at least for a couple years. He was kind of if you look early on here in the season, a lot of these 8 pitchers. Now, I'm not putting Urena in the class of Adola.
Chris, hold on real quick. Chris?
Yeah.
Hold on.
One run on, let's see, one hit. That's all we got. One goddamn hit.
but if you look early on this season, there's a lot of starting pitchers. Chris Sale with the Red Sox.
Right.
A lot of these, ace starting pitchers have been struggling early on this season.
Right.
And eventually they're going to find their way. I think with Nola, I think the last couple starts he's had, he's kind of looked promising. But kind of getting back to Urena, I wasn't really surprised by that, because guys like that to have stuff like he does, eventually he's going to find himself. And he just so happened to run into a team that, at the time, we were scuffling to score runs. I mean, that was a very frustrating series outside that Friday night. because then they got smoked that Saturday night, and then it took them 14 innings. I was more enamored with Tiger in the Masters than watching that 14-inning game against the Marlins that Sunday.
Yeah, no, I agreed. And actually, Chris, we're just a little bit over where we wanted to
we're
be.
We're way over time, so, Chris. And your child is crying again, so we're going to let you tend to that.
But, hey, brother, as always, appreciate your insight, your knowledge, and definitely an asset to the program. And I don't know if you caught the entire episode, but if you didn't, listen to the first part so you can hear what we're doing different next week. You're gonna have to pull away and come in studio again here real shortly. You're going to enjoy it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, is Hollis going to be on the Miami trip? I'm dying to know.
He doesn't have a fucking choice.
Hell yeah. Try and stop me.
I texted Quimby last week. Me and my wife will be down there in Miami on that trip. So it'd be great to hang out with Big Hollis. And again, also, we're going to be in Pittsburgh in the middle of July. So everybody sign up for that trip. It's going to be a great time, great summer.
I love it. Chris, appreciate you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
No, thank you very much, guys. Have a great night.
Okay, we'll see you. And on that note, Big Dog, I got one clip for you, and then we're going to take this out.
You're not going to
what the difference between hitting 250 and 300 is? It's 25 hits. 25 hits and 500 at-bats is 50 points, okay? There's 6 months in a season. That's about 25 weeks. That means if you get just one extra flare a week, just one, a gork, you get a ground ball, you get a ground ball with eyes. You get a dying quail. Just one more dying quail a week, and you're in Yankee Stadium.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
So you don't want to do our sponsors again?
No, we're gonna we did it twice already.
We're just going to get the hell out of here?
No. You want to get anything off your chest?
Not really. This week was pretty good. Yes. You turned over a new leaf. I was the asshole this time at an establishment.
That a boy? Oh, that was fun. We'll talk about air.
We'll talk about that
later. Do not get in front of Hollis and his tots.
I'm a damn tots. Damn.
Do not get in front of his
tots.
Do not
stick your head in my plate. I'm a man.
Everybody, be ready for the new and improved Green Legion radio show next Wednesday. We appreciate you listening. Everybody, one of my favorite songs from one of my favorite intros to one of my favorite movies, which nobody has seen, Out Cold. It was on today while I was hungover watching it. Take it away, Eve 6.